How do I get up here and what do I speak about? I have to ask the Holy Spirit continually, what is relevant for today? What is relevant for the here and now? What is it that you, what's the message that Bert, with his personality, if he has one, with his the ways and the means that he has, what can he get across to the audience that would be worth them spending time? And he says, first thing, pray, Bert, and invite me in this morning. So that's what we're going to do. We've prayed a lot, but I believe in prayer. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come as I speak. May the words come from you. May I just be a conduit. And I love how you can use some of my life stories, some of my adventures and the things that happen, and use my personality, Lord, to convey. So, Lord, may I not embarrass you or let you down in any way, but may I put some words across that these people would love to hear and know. In your precious name, amen. Because without that prayer, you're just getting me rattling up here. And I can rattle. I'll take you to lunch, and I can rattle a lot, especially if you like to talk and eat at the same time. But what can I give you? And you know, you think about this, you know, do I bring hell and brimstone? You guys have had hell and brimstone your whole life. If you went to church at all, back when I went to church, you got lots of that. So the Lord says, I don't need you to bring the spirit of the Pharisee from the pulpit, because that's rampant throughout this country. And I'll tell you how rampant it is. I went to a national football game down in Nashville last year with my son, and Kevin Harrob was with me, and so we were going down there. And there's a guy with a bullhorn, and he's got all these signs, repent or you're going to hell, all around him, and a couple guys handing out flyers. And he says, why are you supporting the god of mammon, and on he went. And you know, as I walked up there, there's a struggle going inside of the old dog here, because that's what I was brought up in. That's the spirit of the Pharisee that was thrown upon us and drilled into us every time the church doors were open. And as I went in there, I had to struggle. And the other guys that I were with, they go, geez, these guys, they're deep and they're heavy and all that. And I didn't let them know at that time that there was this internal fight, that something felt so familiar. Something was drawing me to go, you know what? I really got to think through. Am I throwing money just to go watch a football game? So I had to take it to the Holy Spirit. I had to invite him in to that. And I you may think this is goofy, and that's okay. But this is how I deal with it. Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? And he says, you know what, I blessed you with a few, I think the tickets were $25. I blessed you with $25. You're with your son and you're with a good friend, and they both have had a good weekend hanging out with you. Go with my blessing. Wow. Wow. Freedom. Wow. See, we don't have to take on everything that the world throws at us and wear that as a coat, as something with you. So about a month ago, I began to talk about contentment. And you know, sometimes in these services, things can go fast, and I don't get all the stuff that I want out. So I'm going to do part two on contentment. And contentment is something that I strive for. Contentment is something that the Bible talks a lot about. But the word contentment, who thinks they know what the word contentment means for you? What's contentment for you? I don't see hands flying up all over the room. You know, that's interesting. He's Googling it. All right, we'll have that answer for him here in a minute. Well, but when I Googled, again, like I told you last time, I found 344 states of mind against contentment. I found, I think, three or four what contentment was for. So it led me to think that contentment is a state of mind, a state of being, a state of where you find yourself. But is where you find yourself this moment, is where you found yourself on the drive to church, is that the state you have to live in? So my wife and I had a conversation on the way to church of something that I did yesterday, and I was trying to get clarity, and I push when I try to get clarity, and before long I found myself frustrated because I wasn't getting the answers that I wanted. And that's interesting because then I'm going, what am I supposed to feel? How am I supposed to go into the service this morning? How am I supposed to react when I get up there? Because I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. She calls it anger. I call it frustration. I call it you're not listening. And if you would listen, that takes care of everything. Now, that's just my state of mind, okay? That doesn't mean that's what happens in your house, but that's what happens with me. And so I invited the Holy Spirit in, and I go, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm going to go in and preach. I'm going to go in and edify. How do I do that feeling what I'm feeling right now? Well, he says, repentance is a good start. You know, repent to me, number one, if that. But if you really weren't angry, then it isn't a big deal. You guys have further conversation down the road about that. But he says, it's up to you whether you stay there or not. And I says, certainly I don't want to stay there, but, you know, if I go by feelings, I could still feel that I could still be there. But it ain't about feelings. It's about rising up with the Spirit and going, I'm going to go forward. I'm going to have to go back to her and go, you know what, I might not have handled that all right, but you know, can you forgive me for the part that you think I was wrong? But can we have more conversation about this? So I push on things. Sometimes I push too hard, I think, and too much, but I like clarity. I like asking the questions. I like being in there. So I come back up here to say all that this morning right now I'm very content up here. I feel life's good. I feel like I can move on. I can move in any direction that the Lord would lead. So what did I do? I fought for contentment this morning. And is contentment worth fighting for? Yes. Yes. So contentment, one definition is the freedom that results from living in God's terms. So contentment is from living in God's terms in your life. And when I realize where all my provisions come from, all my provisions, when I realize they all come from God, and I got to take that same question back to God time after time. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit, when I came up here, he says, ask them, what did they come here to ask of me? What did they come here to petition me for? So he says, take the question back to him. Because the Holy Spirit's not scared of your questions. He's not scared of what you're thinking. He's not scared of what's in your heart. What he wants to do is have you ask it. Because you know what he's scared of? If there is a scare with the Holy Spirit, if you don't ask the questions, if you don't move forward on these things, you're gonna be miserable. You're gonna walk around and act like you don't know what's happening, because you don't. You're going to muddle through life, and you're just going to make it messier and messier. See, out of all of these states, of those 344, which one of those are you living in? Frustration, unhappiness, bitterness, total fatigue. I was right, so I don't have to give in on that issue. My wife was wrong. Which one of these do we have to live and are you embracing and hanging on to? Those are questions you should be writing down and asking. And in your bulletin, you will find a sheet of paper that you can, and if you need a pen, the ushers will get, just put your hand up. They get. But I'm going to throw a lot of questions at you today, and you need to be asking these questions. What does contentment look and feel like for me? See, because here's what's going to happen if you don't write these down. You're going to go out those doors. You're going to get busy chasing and hurting your wife and your kids and the worms that you got in your life. And you're going to get out there to the parking lot. And by the time you get in the car, you forgot everything that was said this morning. And if that ain't you, then you got it all together. But that's me. I preach it, and I'll still go and wonder, what did I really say today? What was I really trying to get across? So, Paul talks about in Philippians 4, he talks about contentment. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. But when you read through Paul, did he live a life of contentment? Do we know? I think he did. But I think he fought for that contentment through every beating. I mean, who goes and gets beat and then gets thrown in jail and locked up for the night? In the middle of the night, around midnight, you start singing praise songs to the Lord and you're happy about what's going on. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but I know Paul had to fight for it. Him and Timothy, they aren't talking about the conversation they had. Hey, Paul, I'm beat up pretty good here, and I want to whine a little bit. And Paul says, don't give in, brother, because if we hold the faith and cry out to God, he'll come and deliver us. Paul fought. How many of you are fighters out there? See, there's another question. It's kind of veiled, but it's there. Because if you aren't a fighter, you're just going to go along with whatever comes your way. And then after about three or four of these things that the enemy throws, see, because the enemy says he is going to come, the word says he will come to kill, steal, and destroy. And after about four of these things where he's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but see, he isn't necessarily after you at that moment. Sometimes he's after your refrigerator. Because your refrigerator goes out, your dishwasher goes out, your car goes out. And before you long, I've had men look at me and say, does God even care or see these things? Yeah, I mean, he does. How old is your refrigerator? Well, it's 30 years old. Well, I mean, maybe it was time it died. And your wife's probably happy it's dying, matter of fact, because it was not as big and fancy. I need some prayer. But see how we jump to conclusions instead of fighting through these things? We're going to have opportunity to fight through these things every day, but are you fit for the battle that's ahead of you? Are you Ephesians 6-ing right away in the morning? Are you putting on the whole armor? That's what Ephesians 6-ing is. Is that full armor coming on? Are you ready for battle? And you're not only talking that armor on, you're reaching around there and you're cinching these belts and you're cinching that plate of armor and you've got that helmet on. You're ready to go out to battle. You're not carrying your stuff in a duffel bag to the battlefield and putting it on if things get hot. No, you're going to battle the moment your feet hit the floor. Because I promise you, the enemy will come to kill, steal, and destroy. How are some of the ways he does that? I've been doing a study with some guys on Saturday morning. We've been talking about some of these ways. And some of these ways are pretty backdoor, pretty sneaky. See, because watch the enemy. Once you begin to see him and you can recognize him coming through the front door, he's going to crawl through the bathroom window. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. He's going to come through that access door underneath the house where he can get up in the closet. He's going to try to find a way until you've sealed off every exit and you've used the Lord to do that. But performance and your identity are two of the heavy ways that the enemy is going to come in and try to steal your contentment. And how does he do that? Well, I put in for that job, and I didn't get the title that I wanted. The enemy comes in, and he's going to hit you right in the heart because you know you deserve it. You know it's yours to have. You put in the time. You've done everything the boss has asked, but the enemy has stole your title. He stole your position. Man, you were the new guy on the block, and my boss ran right over the top of me, picked you to go do that assignment that I wanted forever. And so, what am I, chopped liver here? My position means nothing. My association. I've hung out with the president. I went to his house. I went to the president of the company. We had a barbecue. I was there since his kid was born. I've helped him move into their house. I've cut trees down for him. And I thought I had an in there. And the enemy cut that out from underneath you. Possessions. I mean, new cars, the fancy houses, those things that people look at, your appearance. I've been told I'll never make it big in the corporate world because I'm not tall. I'm a standing 5'8" big fella. I mean, I'm big boned. Appreciate that. They says you got to have dark hair. I says, do I need to dye it? But I says, the Bible says this is wisdom. What's your problem? You know, and I don't have all the fine words that come out. You know, I still say ain't, and you shouldn't not and do that. You know, in all them country terms. So my appearance matters. And so I get, should I be knocked down because of those things? The world says I should. Then how about my skills? Man, my skills are number one. Until the next guy comes in that has skills that are a little bit different, or in other words, I just feel like I kind of got washed up and set to the side because the new guy come in and he started talking a big game. Even though you've never seen him do anything, he's got skills, so you say. And so now you're listening to him over me. And I've been here for 15 years. What I say should have some moxie to it. But no, you're not hearing me here. So the enemy takes all six of these. I think that's how many. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Excuse me, ma'am. Yes. Title. I'm saying these again for those of you that are taking notes. I like note takers. Position. Association, possessions, appearance, and skills. And all six of these are attempts to gain value through performance. Sound familiar? Value through performance. And we all strive for one or the other of these. We all want to be recognized. See, that's why you ladies dress up to go out. You want to be recognized. That's why when you're vice president of the company, you go buy a bigger, fancier house. You want to be recognized. You want to be seen. You're driving that Escalade or that. For me, it'd be that F-250 diesel pickup Dodge with all the bells and whistles. And it would scream black smoke as we went down the road. See, that's for me. I can see that's probably not for you. I like that diesel rattle. I like it. But to gain value through performance. These are shortcuts. These are shortcuts to get where you want to be in life. Because to true contentment, let me read you what true contentment is. Over in Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. See, but if you try to grab all of these six performance identification indicators without knowing who you are in Christ. See, because I can go down through these, and I do have titles. I'm Pastor Bert, or Bert. I'm a boss. I own part of a company. I'm an employee. I'm a pastor here at the church. I'm the janitor here at the church. I'm the tree cutter. I haul the lawnmower for the lady who cuts the grass. See, I've got lots of titles. I'm the leader at the small groups that I'm in. I'm something or other at the academy. I kind of help them out there somehow. I don't even know what my title is there, but that's okay. But see, and then my position, well, I fix things that get broke. I get up here and speak when they need somebody to fill in. I do get to trim the trees that need so they don't fill my gutters no more, so I'm a happy guy. I get to do all these things. My association, yeah, I'm associated with Pastor Jeff. I know Ted Roberts from Pure Desire, and I've sat and talked to him across the table. See, I'm name dropping here. I know David. He runs the gym down there on Bardstown. See, it's who I'm with is how important my name drop is and the association I have. Possessions, yeah, I rent a house. I live in a house. I got a Jeep that's paid for and runs. My wife's got a car that runs. We've got furniture in there. We got TVs. I got a few guns around. The things that matter to me that are possessions. I got a few bucks in the bank or hidden in a hole somewhere in the backyard. Probably that's more the case. I'm not a big bank guy, by the way. I know you're a banker there, so don't judge me, brother. Appearance. Short, portly guy with balding, silver hair, big bone. See, that's how I get around all this. I'm big boned. I can carry that weight. I need that to carry. Dressed like an old farm boy most of the time. Nothing fancy there. Skills? I got lots of skills. I can do a lot of things, but nothing really well. So I've kind of got that great diversion of many skills, but nothing's really, you know, to the point. See, so in all of those, I have dots that I can fill in there that I have a piece in each one of those. But what I hope you never hear me do, and I will let you call me on this, is when I lord those over you, when that's too important. So I was at a huge conference over in the Carolinas a couple years ago. And I walk in, and there's one of the doctors that wrote one of the books I like to read. And I go up, and I says, "Hello, Mr. So-and-so." And he says, "It's Dr. So-and-so to you." I go, "Huh, you just tilted your hand really well to me. I know how to walk around you. I know how to speak around you. And I'm probably not going to be around you very much, because you know what? When you've got to toot who you are, because what's the Bible say about that? Y'all know? Pride does come before it, but also let others. That's right. Let others speak highly of you. Let others bring that forth. And you know, because the average guy that I know that's working hard, that's doing all this, he doesn't have to toot him. That isn't what he's trying to do. He's found contentment in his life, and he's hanging on to that, and he's walking forward to that. So your value is determined by one thing and one thing only. who you are in Christ, how you see yourself in Christ. So how many of you go to the mirror in the morning? How many of you go to the mirror in the morning? Everybody? Everybody gets some mirror time at some time or other? Yeah, you do. Sooner or later, whether you're shaving, brushing that hair, brushing your teeth, you're in the car, you look up. What do you think of that guy or gal you see in the mirror? What do you think of him? He's a lot of work. He's what? See, you need to be content with who that is looking back at you in the mirror. And if you aren't, you need to start some more conversations with that person in the mirror. Because I'm telling you what, that's the person that you look at that you want to know that my value is determined. Your value, you, the guy in the mirror, is determined by what Christ says. And it ain't because of anything I've done. It ain't because of any title I have. It isn't because of any position, association, possession, appearance, or skill I have. It's because you loved me so much that you died for me on the cross. Now, can I look at myself in that mirror and be disappointed once in a while? Yeah, I do some dumb things. I'm a guy. Yeah, I know. We're guys. We do some crazy things. And we can be disappointed, but I'm not going to live there. Because when you live there and don't like that person in the mirror, you begin to pick up these 344 other states of mind that are beyond contentment. What did I do with those things? I just had them. So some of these are torment, agitation. You've got the blues. You're gloomy. You're mournful. You're heavy-hearted. You got a heartache. Now, can we have these for a moment? Yeah, you can have these for a little bit. I want you to feel these. Because again, I want you to know that these things that you might feel for a moment are the gauges of your life. But when you sit and you bury the gauge in the red zone on any one of these, I got a bone to pick with you? Well, then let's get it picked. Let's sit down and talk about it. I don't want this to go on forever. And there's not a good time to pick a bone, by the way. There's not. We're going to wait till things settle down, and then we're going to bring it. Really? So you're going to let how many weeks, days, hours go by? Because what did the Word say? See, I keep going back to the Word. What did the Word say? Let not the sun go down on your anger. But some people have carried anger since I've known them. There's some people I've met that have carried bitterness. And I'm not saying they didn't have a right at that moment to be bitter. Okay? We things happen and we do have rights to be bitter, angry, wound up, lonely, mournful, on and on it goes. You have those rights for a season. But when are you going to move past that? Well, that's just the way I was born. That's just the way. No, that isn't. That is not what the Holy Spirit said. You were born to lean into the Holy Spirit and go, how should I react in this scenario, this scenario, this scenario? The problem is the church hasn't taught this very well. Some of this may be a new concept to you today. Has the church asked you to activate the Holy Spirit in your life? Sometimes every time I'm called into the boss's office. Sometimes every time I hate talking on the telephone. That is one of the worst things you can do to me, put me sitting in a room making cold calls or anything like that. Bill collectors call. I do not like to talk to them. They're probably the worst, and they're probably part of what did this to me. But I can't stay there. I have to continue to move on. But I have to talk to people on the phone. See, so I got to be activated in that so that I can move on the future. What is it that you're hanging on to? I got an old friend that got a divorce back before I knew him. I'm telling you what, every time you sit down with him, that'll come up in the conversation somewhere. They're so bitter about what went down in that. And it affects the way they see life. It affects the way they see me. See, because I'm a man, and believe it or not, she doesn't really care for men, this particular person. It affects how they move forward. It affects how God operates in their lives. Because I'm telling you what, God's not going to come in and mess with all those things going on in your life if you continue to have things he needs to stumble over. God wants you to clean the slate. So, a question to write down. What is it God's asking you to move out of your life that you're not sure you're ready to let go of? You've got those issues. I've had those issues. And then what I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, what is it that's holding me back? What is it that I'm hanging on to that I don't even know I'm hanging on to? You ever had those things that I didn't even know I had a problem until somebody started speaking about that problem? Or they started asking me these types of questions? And then, man, then it floods in my soul and it's full. It's the first thing out. See, God does not want you to live here. God wants you to finish well. So it affects your physical. When you don't live or strive to live in contentment, it affects your physical life. It affects your mental state of mind. It affects your relationships, side to side, forward to back, all around you. And it actually will affect the relationship between God and you. Now you'll have a good relationship with the enemy, and you won't even know it because he'll continue to feed you. He will continue to drop notes on your counter of your life. He'll continue to put notes in your pocket. See, I told you, and you just verified it by. And see, I'm one of these guys that can stumble into things like that, and I'm going, what did I just stumble into here? And it was not even me. The Lord says, it might not even have been you. It may have been something that they've been carrying a long time. And the enemy put that note in their pocket. And the minute you spoke it, it verified it. It sealed the deal for them. And you know what? God's tired of his children living like this. So you're grown adults. Yeah, you're grown adults here today as I'm talking. And the Holy Spirit's going to tell you, you know what? I got no room for this stuff in your life. It's time you give it up, time you set it aside, face what you did wrong, face what somebody did to you, and it's time you move on. Because you're hurting no one but you. And I have so much life, says the Holy Spirit, for you. I have so many dreams for your life. Oh, that's another one, he says. So many of you have quit dreaming because these things have, it's just like they put a stop in your life and you can't move past it. So you wouldn't know how to dream. If I came and sat you down and asked you, what are you dreaming about? I don't dream. Dreams are for kids. Dreams are for people who have lots of money and a future. No. Dreams are for the children, the sons and daughters, the bride of Christ. See, we don't get it. We are the bride of Jesus Christ who's coming back to, he's going to sweep us off our feet someday. And I'm telling you what, when you're the bride, when I had my bride, there was nothing at that moment she couldn't ask. There was nothing she could do that was going to damper my feelings for her, my heart for her. And that's what Christ has for you today. He says, would you clear all this garbage out? Let all these ex-mistresses of chaos and life that is less than, leave those things behind so that I can sweep you away and love on you and dream with you and give you dreams and give you the dreams that I've put in your heart. He wants to deliver. He wants you to live in expectancy of what he's doing. He's tired of his children living from day to day, from paycheck to paycheck, from hour to hour, from problem to problem, from situation to situation. Bad things happen to really good people. You guys are really good people. Bad things have happened to you. But it's time you get up, ask God how to move forward and move. And you know what? You'll never get past the pain until you look into the pain, speak to the pain, walk with the pain. But it ain't gonna be painful forever. Because if you've lost a loved one, you're gonna have everything you need to know about it the minute that you pass over and get to go into heaven. So these two men that passed away this last week, they've got all the knowledge. They go, why did I worry about that? Why did I think about that? Why? But this was, God, you had this the whole time. If we could live like people who knew God had it the whole time, how much freer would your life be? How much more would you do? Who else would you talk to? What would you grab a hold of? What would you change? Where would you begin to dream? See, I dream a lot. I dream big. I dream with money I don't have, but the guy who says he's coming back for me says he's got it. So I dream with his money. I dream with his talents. I dream with his position. I dream with his title. I dream with everything about him. Because without that, there ain't much to this old boy. But with that, I've got a life of dreams, expectancy, and a future. Amen? Amen. So I ask you as I go today, so what's the Lord want you, the question, what's the Lord want you to set aside? What's he want you to lay down? What's the question he brought to you today? See, most of you won't ask the question because you don't want to know the answer. You don't want him meddling in your heart. You don't want him changing the way things are. But I'm telling you what, if you let him change the way things are, it may get better. No, better than that, it will get better. If you set these pains, these hurts, these turmoils, and I know I don't know what everything you've all gone through, I know that. I've gone through my own stuff that I've had to set aside. I've had abuse in my life, sexually, physically, verbally. I was born in poverty. I get that. I was born and eating worms and mice out in the field. I get all that. But God wants to show you something new. He wants to show you the banquet table of what he has for his children's heart.